Did you ever think you would make it? I feel I'm so close, I could taste sweet victory. I know this life meant for me. Yeah, why would you bet on Goliath when we got Bet David? Value taming, giving values contagious. This world of entrepreneurs, we get no value to haters. How they run, homie, look what I become. I'm the one.
First of all, today's podcast sponsor, Tom's outfit from Brooks Brothers.
Tom just played nine holes and walked in. Yeah. Like, let's go.
Boom. What is this? If there's anybody who played nine holes before coming in today, it's Adam. He's been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. Early morning golfing.
And he's Orlando. Glowing. Right. And yeah. He's glowing.
Anyway.
I can legitimately say this is the first time in my life that 4 o'clock in the morning was the time that I woke up, not going
well,
to bed.
Well, we're proud of you. We just want to say publicly we're proud of you.
Nine holes before noon.
And what I'm even more proud of is the drive from Orlando to here.
Mm-hmm.
How fast were you going? What's the fastest you went, honestly?
Oh, I hit 100 a couple times.
No, you didn't.
I swear.
No, you didn't.
Which is a big deal.
Were you
deal
shaking?
For
me. Were you like, I'm doing this?
I was crying halfway. No. But we're alluding to the fact that Pat. I'm not a big speed guy. Can I tell the car? Oh, my God. Which one?
The Bentley or?
Everything.
Okay,
just Pat.
Oh, there's multiple stories?
One thing that I know about.
Uber driver.
Yeah, right. One thing I know about Pat, difference to him and I, Pat, very influenced by the original Top Gun. He has a need for speed.
Something about
straight up. Patch. We're in a Bentley in L.A. We hit 150. He goes, let's try it one more time. 160. In a Bentley in L.A. on the 405, what was that?
He was making this shit up. We were going 65 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm making this up.
10-2. Who the hell can go 165 on the 405 freeway?
165. You saw how Pat subtly corrected me.
Yeah.
165, by the way. 160, you're correct. You know the Porsche you just bought.
Yeah, it's sick. I made a video it was mine.
We hit like Mach 10.
Morale calls me. She says, congratulations on the cross. I haven't posted a picture. She says, no, Vinny made a video about it.
Like, I made a video with your car.
There we go.
Pat, is it because Pat's half Assyrian, half Armenian? Like everybody knows, Armenians in Glendale drive like they're all late for something. They all BMWs, and it's just boom.
Where are they going?
Nowhere.
It's
your mother's house.
It's gotta be
either
easy.
Late for something, or it's the old adage: drive it like you stole it.
Yeah,
it's as if everyone in Glendale, you know, it's easy place to be a cop. In Glendale.
100%.
Just stand somewhere. Don't even work. Sit and just give tickets to you. Someone's going to be speeding. Yeah.
So I guess the question is this in your blood? Like, have to speed, have to rush.
Have you ever seen my dad drive? Listen, my dad got his driver's license in the U.S., not Iran, in 84.
Uh-huh.
From 84 till today, he's not once gotten a ticket. One time, cop pulled him over. I don't know for what reason. He got upset at the cop. He says, how dare you pull me over? Oh, go look at my record. Oh. I follow the law is what I do. The cop felt so bad he let my dad go.
Wow.
My dad is a, speed
so
is.
What does that have to do with the fact that you go 165 on the regular?
Well, I have to balance it out. I got to balance it out.
It skips a generation is what you're saying.
Yeah. So listen, we got a lot of things to go through. We got some, did you guys see Dana White's response to when people say you need to take some time away to think about what you did?
I did it.
Have you seen that? You guys seen that at all? Okay, first of all, we'll cover that.
And they put noted marriage counselor Vince back on the board.
Yeah, they did. Vince McMahon back on the board.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's about to sell it to Saudi Arabia. There's some rumors about it.
There you go.
As if Harry needs any more help selling his book. We'll talk about his book. And something's to do with frostbite penis. What is it?
He got frostbite on, what was that? What was that English word?
Frostbitten penis.
Frost nip on his trodger.
On his trodger.
The right way of saying it.
That's what it said.
And todger. Apparently he said in the book todger. That they had him so he could give spare parts and organs to his older brother.
That's in the book. What he said in the book.
He said that in the book.
So why would anybody write that in
you
the book?
I mean,
you gotta know you're
said
just
it,
trying
he,
to.
He printed it.
All right, we'll talk about it. We'll help him sell another 100,000
copies. Frozen solid. Think it just shatter.
Yeah. And then a few other things. By the way, did you guys see YouTube's new profanity policy? Have you seen the new YouTube profanity?
Shit, no.
profanity policy. We'll talk about that as well. And then we got some things to talk about with, obviously nothing to see, the Biden documents, it's not a big deal, but we'll cover a little bit.
Oh, and there's a second batch, which nothing to see there either.
Yeah, we'll cover that. We'll cover what World Bank cuts 2023 global growth projections are with inflation. Jerome Powell confronts his peers and says, listen, guys, we got to focus on the economy, not climate change. We'll talk about that. Tom's got some commentary on Microsoft. First puts $1 billion in ChatGPT. Now they're thinking about putting another $10 billion. Laid off workers are flooded with fake job offers. That's a Wall Street Journal article. Stick around for that one.
Identity theft.
TikTok CEO plans to meet European Union regulators. U.S. flight disruptions mount after FAA grounding order ends. it's just another reflection of what a great job Pete Buttigieg is doing. Like, you know, that's one of those things he's got to be proud of, what his job. NBC execs regret giving Jimmy Fallon $80 million. We'll talk about that. We got a few maybe Tate conversations we'll have. Bill Cosby wants to go on the tour. I'm concerned if he does go on the tour. We'll cover that as well. And then Jemele Hill blasts ex-colleague Stephen A. Smith for taking it easy on Dana White. And maybe a few other stories. But, Tom, let's get right into the Jimmy Fallon story. Sounds like you got some stuff you want to talk about there. If you want to go to page 9 on what's going on with Jimmy Fallon. By the way, do you like Jimmy Fallon? Between him and Kimmel, do you like Fallon?
I love Fallon.
Fallon is very likable.
Okay.
Two things, Pat. One, 100% Fallon. They're all politically biased, and they all do their one. Remember all the videos?
Especially all that stuff.
Kimmel, though.
Fallon just did one this week. Kimmel is the most hypocritical thing about it. He's the biggest shit talker. Trump to everybody. Man show. He did blackface. He did Shaq. All the biggest mouth.
He did Karl Malone.
My bad. He didn't do Shaq. Yeah. But it's just not funny anymore. Yeah. It's not funny.
The hypocrisy is not funny.
It's not funny.
When he did Karl Malone, some would say that was funny. But the act of, as if you walk on water.
That's my problem.
That's the part that you lose credibility.
Get out of here, bro.
If we're talking about comedy and late night comedians and Fallon and Kimmel and these guys, Seth Meyers, I'm missing one, Colbert.
Yeah.
The whole premise with comedy is being able to have misdirection. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. That came out of nowhere. That's hilarious.
Like the joke he showed us today.
Came out of freaking nowhere.
Yeah.
But when you know where the joke starts and where it ends, so Donald Trump's house just got married. Like, you know where it's ending.
Yeah.
So you're just like, and as a current comedian, former comedian, it's like, if I'm looking at, I don't really watch a lot of late night, but if I do and I just kind of want to have some general entertainment and you already know where the joke is headed,
it's like. Can't do it.
By the way, we do have to. So this morning, we have a tragic story that, like, we're trying to have a good time. All of a sudden, some guy comes in, giving us an article, emotional article. We're all laughing here until this guy brings this story. It's a kid that's in court. You guys saw this one here. Crazy. Yeah. Kid is in court. He's been living
parents
with his mom.
Parents are getting a divorce, a custody battle.
Do you want to go with mom or dad? And
they beat him.
They says, no, I don't want to go with my mom or my dad. Terrible situation. They both beat him. Then the aunt is sitting there. Do you want to go with the aunt? He says, no, she beats me twice as much.
Oh, my God.
This thing gets, wow. I mean, the judge at this point is confused.
The grandparents beat everybody.
Everybody says, so they finally, they're so confused. They said, where should we give this kid's custody battles to? He chose the Dallas Cowboys because they don't beat anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was go. Hilarious.
Take anyways, that, okay, Jerry
so,
Jones.
Yeah. So let's go into.
But by the way, just we're on this topic. Yeah. Do you watch any of these late night shows? Because Greg Gutfeld's Fox News is like the number one.
Well, let me first read this story, and then we'll have this section. So NBC exec regret paying Jimmy Fallon $80 million contract extension. As Fox News' Greg Gutfeld beats Tonight Show in ratings, the Tonight Show host Jimmy Fallon is reportedly losing the rating war to Fox News' rival Greg Gutfeld. The show is currently drawing in less than 1.3 million viewers compared to Gutfeld's 2.5 million. Damn. And wow, even crazy. Less than Stephen Colbert's late show on CBS, Fallon signed $80 million 5-year extension with NBC nearly 19 million months ago, but has attracted 30 million subscribers to his YouTube channel. But this does not drive up ad rates for the regular show. There had already been shakeups in the production staff, and Fallon's contract may not protect him from further changes. NBC may consider buying out Fallon's contract and replacing him with a host who can bring in more viewers.
Pat.
Tom.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I found this really interesting today because I saw Fallon, and then I saw like three other articles on big payouts going to NFL coaches getting fired. And this guy, Matt Rhule of Carolina Panthers, he had gotten a 4-year extension for $40 million. So what happens is at the peak, you know, NBC or the NFL or another sports league, they give these guys big extensions. And then they don't play out. So suddenly Jimmy Fallon basically goes 1-8 to start the year. He's not driving his ad rates up. His YouTube channel isn't helping the Tonight Show because they're saying, wow, he's on social media. He's got this and this, and it's helping us. And so there's a real little mini case study here. But the NFL has it right. I looked up into NFL contracts. This is very interesting. And it doesn't sound like NBC did this with Fallon. We were talking about non-compete yesterday.
Yep.
Right? Well, in the NFL, when you get fired, it's called please compete. And let me explain what that means. Please compete with me. In the NFL, Matt Rhule, under the terms of his agreement, which is with the team, but there's also a jurisdictional element with the NFL, Matt Rhule is going to get that $40 million. But from who? In the NFL, what they put in contracts, if you're under the age of 60, what's called the mitigation clause, you have to go out and find another job. You have to. And the NFL has got a whole team of lawyers and investigators that follow you around. And they're actually making phone calls for you, getting you hooked up with colleges or other teams. You want to know why? Let's say, Pat, you're the owner of the Carolina Panthers. You're on the hook, per the contract, for $40 million from Matt Rhule because you're firing him after a 1-4 start and he lost the locker room. Get out. So it's one of the rare firings in the middle of the season. Well, you're on the hook for 40. Unless maybe he goes back to Baylor and gets a 5-year, $20 million contract. Mm. That gets deducted from the 40. Got you don't have
so
to
you
pay.
Only owe 20.
So you only owe him 20. Exactly right. And so this happens all over the place in the NFL. Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona Cardinals. People realize, oh, he had a $20 million extension. They owe him 20. Unless Cliff gets another job.
But Tom, let's stay on this topic here. So it's interesting you're saying this. So in other words, if I, you mean to tell me if somebody right now called NBC and said, hey, if CNN called NBC, they don't have the money to, but if CNN called NBC and said, hey, we'll take that contract away from you, just ship him to us. You mean to tell me they can't take that money away from NBC and pay that to them?
Typically, we don't know what the fine print of Jimmy Fallon's contract says, but typically in media, they pay the money to keep Fallon on his couch, just in case. They wouldn't want him to go to CNN and maybe blow up and be the old Jimmy Fallon competing with them.
Wow.
They don't want that. So they'd rather pay him the money. He sits on his couch, figures out what projects he's going to do, what he's going to invest in. He probably becomes a producer, executive producer, starts putting money into things that he wants to do. But the NFL's got it figured out. Instead of non-compete, it's please compete. Go get another job tomorrow.
What a great concept for NFL. I mean, I understand what that means. Go take the money elsewhere. You know, go make the money elsewhere. But for Greg Gutfeld, so NBC is free cable, isn't it? It's free TV. Anybody has access to it.
Sure, sure. Anything you buy.
It's Fox News free cable? It's not. You have to pay for it, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay for cable to watch Greg Gutfeld. So let me get this straight. The one with the free audience is losing the one that is you have to pay to watch it?
100%.
By 2X? That is absolutely embarrassing to think about. And
Greg Gutfeld's most successful producer, the most successful producer right now in all of the universe of cable and television is Greg Gutfeld. He created The Five. He owns a big chunk of that show. He's the most successful and the biggest viewership. He's king right now.
And Pat, going off of what Adam said too, Pat, you know why?
Check to see what Kimmel is getting. Kimmel is getting to see if he's beating both of them combined. Please
and Pat,
continue.
When people say why, you know why, Pat? Why? Gutfeld is out there, Tom? When you watch him on that couch and that's who he is there. And when he walks into your house and you're partying, he's that same guy. When you watch CNN and shit, you think, like, would you want to be at a party and see any of these anchors from Lemon or whenever Cuomo's in there? They have an agenda, bro. People like real shit. You know why Tucker's up there? Because Tucker's the same off as he is on. CNN and all these networks, bro, they're not. And that's why these guys are killing it. And they're baffled why CNN and all these left-wing political people are going down, bro. Look at this.
Adam.
Yeah, well, let's just kind of go back a second. Okay, just think about where we're at in America right now. This is actually...
Here we go.
Here we are, guys. Yeah. Kumbaya. Not too long ago, 40 years ago, the beginning of our lifetime, there was one king of late night. His name was Johnny Carson.
Best.
Here's Johnny! Yeah. And it was like the Walter Cronkite for news in the 60s, what have you. Johnny Carson in the 70s, 80s, there was, like, if you made it onto Carson as a comedian,
that was it.
As a performer, that's it, done. You're
Career.
Now famous.
I remember comedians would do their 4-minute bit, and if they got invited to the couch,
it was like you were a made man.
I mean,
Tom, when you made it to the couch that one time in 1976, when you started off in comedy, it was like
the best.
Groundbreaking. That was the Biz Doc started right
it was,
there.
That's how you made it here.
Thank God the Biz Doc's here today, fired up. But now we're at a point in America now where there's so much competition. Every single one of these, then it went from from Carson and went to Leno and Letterman. It was now that was two guys, yep. right? Now you have in the rankings of order.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
You have Colbert, Fallon, Kimmel, Seth Meyers.
Coco.
And who's Coco?
Conan O'Brien.
Oh, Conan O'Brien was the best. He's the best. He was the best. Yeah.
Out of all of that
guy. What do you got? The
but
TBS
now
it's, contract.
It's so saturated, and they're all kind of like cannibalizing each other, each of these shows. Like, if you add up their numbers, Colbert's at 2.1 million, Fallon's at 1.3, Kimmel's at a little over a million. So you're talking 4.5 collective on the big three.
Gutfeld right? is beating Kimmel. And yes. Fallon combined.
Gutfeld's at 2.3 million. So this is what I'm saying. This is like.
The five is the number
you
one
talk,
show.
Hey, cable. Tom, thanks, buddy. We'll get right back to you. Thank you. can I make my point?
Yeah, make it.
Like the Siskel and Ebert over here. But here's the deal. Gutfeld, I watched it last night, ironically. He's not a comedian.
No.
He's not funny.
No.
He's not even that entertaining. He is. Himself.
Exactly.
Okay. He's not a stand-up comedian.
Not at all.
He's entertaining. He's got opinions. That's great. Yeah. But when you have three, this is kind of what I was saying before, when you already know where the joke is going mm-hmm. and you have three, Colbert, Kimmel, Fallon, and it just kind of, Fallon at one point was amazing with the Roots when it first started.
Yep.
They're doing the music mm-hmm. and the carpool karaoke. Is James Corden still doing his show, by the way? I haven't seen that. But
he's trying to get into that restaurant.
He's essentially, this is where I'm going with this. Gutfeld has Blue Ocean Strategy written all over him. Everyone's going this way. Let's just go this way, and let's just stay true to ourselves.
Yep.
I'm not shocked that he's the number one king of late night, but it's not because he's super, super amazingly talented and hilarious and has awesome stuff. No, it's just that it's the same old shit over here on the left,
yep. mm-hmm.
and he's just going a different direction.
And you know what it got really worse, Pat? Everyone. I know I said it too. I've said this before. COVID killed comedy for all those people because as soon as you start dancing and going... Okay, jab yourself with it. Bye. I'm done.
Yeah, but
I'm
was
done.
It, was
I'm
it COVID done. Or was it Trump?
Because no, Trump started it. Trump started it. No, you're 100%. But COVID it killed Trump. It. Because when they did, when they had needles on whatever, like jab yourself. What the? What was that?
That was Colbert. That, was
that made me go
yeah.
bye.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
done.
Yeah,
look
yeah.
at this shit. Like, yeah, put a needle in
that's
your
just,
arm.
That's
yeah.
just propaganda. But that's
propaganda.
What I'm saying. That's where you know it was going.
Thank you.
Do you, remember when? Jon Stewart went on Colbert and they talked about China
oh
and the Wuhan
God.
Lab.
How uncomfortable
How
was he?
How uncomfortable was Colbert? Do you remember that?
Oh,
Jon Stewart's like, Jon Stewart, who is as liberal
yes.
and yep. as a bastion of liberal ideas yeah. as it gets. Bill Maher, yep. Jon Stewart. And he's like, so how about that lab leak?
Yeah.
And Colbert's like, no, it came, definitely yeah. came from a bat.
Oh my
he's like,
God.
Bat. What bat yeah. do you know?
And was that Jon Stewart?
It was
Stewart?
The Wuhan.
It like, was Jon Stewart.
With the like the unkept beard and the longer hair.
Yeah. Correct.
And That's it's what... like, Jon Stewart's been in the tool shed behind his house for 2 years.
Yeah.
Suddenly,
that was it.
Just look at focusing him go. On 9/11.
Look at the body language. He look how far
they're going
back.
To kill us all. It just and they're best friends by the way.
100%.
So yeah. it just it's I don't know. It's
look.
It's, that was awkward.
You guys said a lot. You made a very good point. Going back, only one option. Now there's a lot of options. The numbers you gave: Gutfeld beating Kimmel and Fallon at mm-hmm. the same time. I do have a recommendation for NBC. There's a guy. You can get for I can negotiate a good price for you guys. His name is Marcelo Hernandez.
Ah, yeah.
He's on SNL.
That's
I guarantee
boy.
You keep your eyes on him. One of those two is going to lose him. Either NBC's going to pick him up or the other guy's going to pick him up. That guy's going
I
places.
I would watch that show.
I would watch that show all
I love
day long.
That's where you're going.
No, I like that guy a lot. He's a talent. You know what it is? Here's one of the biggest things to that happens to everybody you have to be aware of. You have to be aware of. So you go into the NBA. First time. You go into the NBA, you play against the great ones, and you say, oh, my God, I'm on the same floor with freaking Kobe, Jordan. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I have to guard Jordan tonight. Imagine you just got to the NBA. You're Ruben Patterson. You're guarding Michael Jordan. You're Byron Russell, Brian Russell, and you're guarding Michael Jordan. Or
Dominique's brother, Gerald Wilkins, the Jordan stopper.
Yes, New York. And, oh, you're going to... So, man, so for what? How was your day today? Dude, I can't even believe, dog.
Yeah.
You know, when he was doing the turn, he made that one shot. I didn't even know how to block it. I tried. I got close. But this guy, there's a reason why they come, and you're having this conversation. It's a childlike conversation, right? So you know, you're a comedian, you get your first shot, like Marcelo called the other day, Zoom.
Yeah.
You won't believe this, I'm this, and then he picks me up.
Chappelle calls this,
and then we drive up, and then in front of this, and I cannot believe it. And I'm at Madison Square Garden, I'm like, I'm watching this guy.
Yeah.
He could have gone 30 more minutes, I would have listened to him, because I'm watching a kid's dream become a reality. Sick. It's a beautiful moment to witness, man, when it becomes a reality, right? It's when you win in business. It's when you, you know, in so many different ways, when you become a parent the first time and you're emotional and all that, and then comes 10 years later. And then you become arrogant, ungrateful, you lose perspective, and then you're no longer that likable. Now your interview's like, yeah, we lost in the playoffs, so what? I'm still making $18 million a year. I'm going to go to my beautiful house. I'm going to go do this LeBron. Yeah, that's annoying. You know, hey, you know, you better do this or else. I don't care if I lose half my Republican voters. I don't give a shit. Your name is Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, that's annoying. It's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. Listen, man, when we come home at night at that time, I haven't watched this since Jay Leno. I went on Leno as a 14-year-old kid just to watch the guy in Burbank.
Burbank, yeah.
We snuck in just to see this guy perform. And anyways, you watched him. Yeah, freaking fun. He took shots at everybody. Okay. You watch Conan. He's fun to just listen to, right? These guys became propaganda type of guys. They lost it, but they also became arrogant.
Yep.
They also became know-it-alls. They also forgot how awesome it was where a Jimmy Fallon, if you go watch Jimmy Fallon's, what do you call it?
SNL audition.
I think you told me about it.
You'd be blown out of your mind.
I mean, you watch this guy. You're like, man, you want to see this guy win, right?
Talent.
So sometimes somebody, I was talking to a guy yesterday who's in deep trouble. And no, it's not Andrew Tate, although he's also in trouble. But I was talking to this other guy. And I was saying to him, that guy's going in this trail of the Fallon-Kimmel trail where you're becoming annoying. And you're becoming too arrogant. I'm like, who's he talking to that can kind of give him a different perspective? Because sometimes when you're in the Kimmel position or a Fallon position, you're in a web and you're stuck and no one's telling you what you need to hear to pivot to one direction. Mm-hmm. Nobody is. Everybody around you is just telling the same. So you just keep going, then all of a sudden you become this arrogant guy that we have to fire and replace you with somebody else that's a little bit more excited to be there, that can stay childlike. This is why the people who win long-term stay childlike the longest. Elon Musk is still childlike. Whoever stays childlike, not childish, childlike the longest wins. This morning, you know, we're sitting here saying what you're saying about Tom. You know what feeling I got from Tom this morning? Childlike. I got this going on, I got that going on, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got this going on, I got that going on. It's like an excited kid that's got so many things to look forward to, right? Mm-hmm. So being childlike has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with a mindset to stay fresh, especially when your job is to entertain. Mm-hmm. If your job is to make deals, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But if your job is to entertain, you best stay childlike. And Greg Gutfeld, to me, every time I see him, the guy's childlike. That's why he's beating.
Do you watch Gutfeld? Any of you guys?
I've seen him. I've seen his clips. I watch him on YouTube.
Yeah.
I like his monologues. You can tell. You know what I like about his monologues? He'll say a joke and say, yeah, that was not a good one. Let me rip this one out.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That was good. Okay, you guys like that one. It's a very, he has
got a lot
relationship.
Of not good ones, so that's and Pat, he's not a comedian.
You know what's different too? He's in front of a live audience.
Right? Yeah.
There's people there, which adds another element to it, which I like.
I just, I want to know, like, if you're the CBS showrunner, the executive, if you're doing NBC, ABC, and it was just circle back 2016, 2017, it's so easy to just start shitting on Trump. It's such a weird time in America.
Yeah.
Of course you are. And they, believe me, they would mess with Obama nowhere near Trump. I mean, not even close. At what point does the showrunner or the producer say, hey, listen, we've officially lost half our audience. Why don't we be the ones to like, bring this back in just a little. Let's beat, let's say you're, because Fallon doesn't go over the top like Kimmel or Colbert. So I'm just wondering, are they must see these numbers and they must be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Adam, I think it's laziness too, Tom, not to cut you off. I think it's laziness as a production team. Why talk about anything else? Just trump it up. But I like what you said. I would want, all it took is one of them to go, guys, let everybody talk about Trump, because that's all everybody's talking about. Let's just be creative. Let's go talk about other shit, not just this guy. And like I've said this before, CNN, the only way, because CNN's losing money left and right. The only way they're going to...
And center
is if, I'm telling you right now, Trump, because DeSantis, I don't know if it's going to help them. If Trump wins the election, CNN's going to be right back on top because that's all they're going to do. That's all they're going to talk about.
I think DeSantis is going to hurt everybody's ratings because there's nothing that funny about him.
You good Christian, wholesome man.
Let's hear from our comedian,
I think you get to the core of it. You're asking, is there a showrunner? I think they all live in a bubble. They're living in a bubble, which orange man bad, conservatives slap them, anti-vaxxers are unpatriotic, and they're loons, or they're fringe, they're right-wing fringe. When you do that, you are ignoring the mass of the audience. And I think there was a day where that was cared about. But I think media in the bubble, I honestly don't think those late night, I think they are... And to a large degree, they're reading talking points, and it is kind of propagandist. I remember Letterman's first show on CBS after the deals were done, the big thing. They opened the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York. Letterman does his first show. He's doing his opening monologue, and Letterman had this real nostalgic sense about NBC because NBC gave him a shot. He was almost the successor to Johnny Carson. He ends up on the after Johnny Carson slot. And it was amazing. He cracks these two jokes, and then his buddy, Tom Brokaw, NBC news guy, cameos, walks into the CBS studio, takes the big cue cards and says, "Dave, I'm really disappointed. Those last two jokes were the intellectual property of NBC. I'm taking them down the street." And he walks off the stage, and Letterman looks at the camera and says, and this was the shot for Warren Littlefield at NBC, he says, "That's odd. I didn't think you could use intellectual property and NBC in the same sentence."
Oh, wow.
And it was, but it was funny, and it was truly funny. And you looked at the balance, and you looked at what Leno was doing and what Letterman was doing, and it wasn't political slap on parade. And I think they've lost that. I think now media's in a bubble, and they've lost it.
I think something that you said that I want to highlight and go deeper on is the writers. So who are the writers?
Conan O'Brien was that writer, by the way.
Yeah, at one point.
On the late show with David Letterman. Yep.
Who are the writers? Well, if you talk about, 10-to-1 liberal professors to conservative professors at school. So if you go to school, or if you're in the media, entertainment, writing, performing, liberal arts part of the school, you tend to be more liberal. So now, just using basic numbers, let's say there's 10 applicants and 9 of them lean liberal. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you did comedy. How many are more conservative versus liberal in comedy?
In comedy, it's a lot more.
80-90%. Yes?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's the candidates. That's the pool of talent. So that's what they're going to start writing to. So, I mean, who's doing all the writing? The Jews. I mean, they're doing... it's
cancel Adam!
Typically more liberal-minded people, and that's who's writing these jokes. So... I think you're absolutely spot on. It's
okay,
not,
let's go to the
they're
next
reading
story.
Talking points
100%,
from 100%.
Onward.
Let's go to the next story. Let's go to the next story with Microsoft GPT. Tom, they originally put $1 billion into it. Now they're going to $10 billion. Let's read this article here that we have. So Microsoft reportedly plans to invest $10 billion in creator of a buzzy AI tool, ChatGPT. This is an NBC News story. A startup behind a popular AI tool, ChatGPT, as part of a funding round that would value OpenAI $29 billion, according to reports. The deal would give Microsoft a 75% share of OpenAI profits until it recoups its investment, after which the company would assume a 49% stake in OpenAI. Damn, like 49%? The reports state that the deal has not been finalized yet and that the plan was to close the deal by the end of 2022. OpenAI ChatGPT is a natural language processing model which can generate text that appears to be written by a human. It is widely used to be developing code and writing essays. This spin on ChatGPT may help Microsoft in its web search efforts. Tom.
Microsoft is a genius. And you look back. Once upon a time, Apple was struggling. And Steve Jobs calls Bill Gates and says, "Listen, Apple's going to go bankrupt, but we need your help. And Gates came up with $150 million. And it was on the cover of Time magazine, Steve Jobs on the phone that says, "Thank you, Bill. The world is a better place because Apple and Microsoft can coexist." Microsoft sold that a couple years later for $550 million. Had they held that until Apple peak last February, you know what that would have been worth? $122 billion dollars.
If they would have held it.
If they would have held it. Yeah. And by the way, they thought they had made bank. Hey, we gave Apple 150. We just got 550 back, half a billion. Wahoo. Microsoft is really smart about this stuff. And you notice they're holding it at 49%. And by the way, they've already invested $1 billion in this. They know what they're doing. And they're on top of it. And they're going to make money on this. Remember, do you remember something called Encarta? It's funny. Do you know what that is? Encarta? Encarta was a CD. It's like a little DVD CD. And it was an unbelievable dictionary. It was like four times the content of the set of World Book Encyclopedias, if anybody remembers what those were. And that...
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey... Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
That was what Microsoft believed was, there it is, 1995, was an information resource for your computer. And remember, Microsoft said, you know, this internet thing is probably going to come and go, because they saw it like Prodigy or AOL. So they were wrong about that. Since that moment, Microsoft has not been wrong. These guys are going to make money on this, and this is a really smart move. And you go back and look at what they did with Apple. They're a kingmaker.
Do you think OpenAI has what it takes to be a $1 trillion company?
I mean, another $1 trillion company?
Do you think it has a shot at being a $1 trillion company in 10 years?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's $500 million valuation added to Microsoft.
Yeah, at least.
Well, I mean, 449% is you're talking about...
You mean $500 trillion.
$500 trillion. Yeah. What did I say?
You said half a billion.
$500 million is nothing. It's $500 trillion.
Yeah, this is another $500 million.
Sorry, $500 trillion. Yeah, $500 billion added to valuation.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's another $500 million on the Microsoft stock price.
I am surprised others are not going in. This every once in a while you get some kind of a company that comes along like this that you're seeing the results of what it's capable of doing. We're not talking about FTX. You know, we're talking about you can sit there. You know what the biggest complaint is? Yesterday I posted a video about what is ChatGPT and who's behind it. Mm-hmm. You know what's the most common tweet I got back from people? Mm-hmm. Here's the most common response. Stop talking about ChatGPT. I use it daily, and every time you guys talk about it, the website crashes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Totally.
So did you shot that? Did it go out yet?
What do you mean?
Did the video
went out yesterday.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to watch that because here's the question I have.
Yeah.
Generally, sometimes it's better to ask questions. I mean, I don't know much about this. Why are people using it? Because my assumption, at least initially, is, hey, I'm a 20-year-old college kid. Time to write that essay. Thanks, ChatGPT. So
why are people using it?
Like, what are they using it for? I'm not doubting why someone would use it.
Adam,
what are the reasons they're using it?
Ready for this? And this is off school. Right now, I could say this.
Go on it right now.
Yeah, right now, I could say this. I need a sketch shot Friday. I need some ideas. I just put in their little search thing, come up with 50 sketch ideas.
Watch what it says. ChatGPT is at capacity right now. We can't even get in. That's exactly how many people are trying to get off.
Yeah, that's how many college kids are trying to get their essays written for them.
Adam, talk.
He's talking.
It's cheat. It's basically doing all the work for you so you don't have to. It's basically it's the robots doing all the work. And I mean, then you could take I don't know, bro.
So writing papers, sketches, having this do the work for you.
So for example, I'll give you an idea. So let's just say you're about to interview Elon Musk. Or you're about to interview.
You heard about that? It's coming up.
You're about to interview whoever. Let's just say you're interviewing somebody you're looking forward to. You say, give me 10 questions no one's ever asked Elon Musk in an interview. It'll give you 10 questions.
And make it original, too.
Okay. Hey, give me, it can now write code.
Oh, my God.
It can write code. It can make rap songs. It can make it's the capability. And by the way, this is 1.0.
Yeah,
this is not 2.0, 3.0, 5.0, not at all. This is 1.0. Go ahead, Tom.
I'll ask one quick question. The usage of this thing is so spread wide. It is like the internet for AI. If you think of it that way, it's that big. When do you think they will have, on a trailing 12-month basis, $1 billion in revenue? And I'll help you out. Your answer will be in in months.
Wow.
How many months until they will have a trailing $1 billion in revenue?
6 months.
What are their revenue sources? Is it advertising? Because is this open to the public? How do they make money?
Usage is the answer is 17 months. Before the end of 2024, they will be running a $1 billion revenue company. Not valuation, because a VC thought, oh, I'll give you your unicorn valuation. Revenue.
Okay.
And GPT-4, there we go. GPT-4, there it is coming, and that's just going to accelerate it further. And GPT-4, by the way, Thiel is putting $1 billion on here, the Palantir guys.
Are they public yet, Tom?
Palantir.
Yeah. Sorry.
But how are they driving revenue? Is it all?
Oh, it's going to be $7.99 a week. I believe it's going to be seven. Can you look to see how much it's going to be per week?
So you have to pay for to use it?
It's a plug-in license. That's basically the way it works.
Plug into what?
Whatever you want. What are you plugging into? You could plug it into a term paper website. And so you and I run a term paper website. People can go in and build term paper. We pay a plug-in licensing fee every time it's used. And
so there's a subscription model built into it.
Correct.
But is that how they're going to make the majority of their revenue? Or is it going to be sponsors, advertising, that kind of stuff, ad revenue?
I think it's D, all of the above.
And because like right now, Adam, you could go in and it'll print something that's only like two or three pages for you or like a page. You have to pay to get the full, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. By the way, when did this launch? A month or two ago?
November.
Wow.
It launched in six. It's the fastest ever to get to 1 million users. Five days.
How do you think Rob got all this? You think Rob did this on bullshit?
Rob didn't do this.
Rob didn't even do this.
By the way,
give me a podcast outlet.
Here's what people don't even know. This is why Greg Gutfeld's beating everybody.
That's it.
That's who's writing this monologue.
Writers.
You just figured it out.
That's in comedy. That's what is known as a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, let's skip to the next story here. We figured if you can get into ChatGPT, put a nickel in it. You're going to make some money on it. Jerome Powell.
A nickel.
Jerome Powell warns Federal Reserve should not take climate change, should not tackle climate change and social issues as he slaps down woke colleagues. Ooh, that's not good to do that in that space. All right, let's see what he says here. What page are we on? It's supposed to be seven. There you go. Okay. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell cautioned that the Fed must resist the temptation to tackle social issues such as climate change, saying that taking on new goals such as climate or social policy without a clear statutory mandate would undermine the case for the Fed's independence. Powell emphasized that the Fed's regulatory powers give it a narrow role to ensure financial institutions appropriately manage the risks they face from climate change, but it should not be a climate policymaker. He also stated that decisions about policies to directly address climate change should be made by the elected branches of the government and must reflect the public's will as expressed through elections. What are your thoughts? By the way, tomorrow, Vivek, who's going to be on, he wrote the book Woke and a couple other books on this topic, one other book on this topic. He'll be here, ESG. So what, Tom, is what he's really saying is, ESG can apply to corporations, but not to the Federal Reserve. Let us do our part. Don't judge us with our ESG score. Or is he just saying, let's not get the two confused. Let's run a business here.
Yeah, I think what he's talking about is independence. He's saying, listen, without a clear mandate, you're going to undermine our independence. We're supposed to independently look all over the economy, all over legislation and everything, and saying, where should interest rates, discount rates, and these other things be? We're supposed to be independent on that. Now you're saying that rates and other things would move and overnight banking rates would change if they want to penalize institutions or industries? No. I'm with Powell here. It's like, all right, I know everybody wants to do, and by the way, World Economic Forum, tomorrow they're getting together in Davos. You know, it's coming up. Listen, most of the climate change thing is income redistribution. If you take a look at what's really going on there. And all he's saying is, hey, we're supposed to be independent, fueling the economy with everything that's in that. Leave us alone and do this, because unless there's a mandate to do this, you elected guys do it. You program guys do it. You tax guys do it. And I think that's all he's saying, and I think he's right.
I just want to say one thing about Jerome Powell, and I'm gonna reiterate this and reiterate this. Jerome Powell is the most important person in America today.
Yeah, you said
it's not Trump, it's not Biden, it's not Elon Musk, it's not this person that. Like, Jerome Powell, as Jerome Powell goes, the country goes at this point. Everything that's going on with inflation and money printing and stimulus checks and
everything. I mean, is there a person even on Jerome Powell's level right now, including the president of the United States? Is anybody even touching Jerome Powell's status as far as the most important American in the world right now? Anybody?
He's up there. He's up there with the amount of influence that he has. But what's your point with climate change?
I don't know nothing about climate change. Just the fact that that's the stance that he's taking is a very, very...
Yeah, but this is about climate change. We know he's the most powerful
but
guy.
But most people don't know that, is what I'm saying.
But I understand that. So for a guy this powerful to say what he says about climate change, what's he saying to his peers? You know what it's like? It's kind of like when Jon Stewart went to his buddy and he says, so what do you think about the fact that the virus was leaked from Wuhan lab? Oh, wait, what do you mean? It was not a bat? No, it's not a bat. When's the last time you saw a bat? So Jerome Powell is essentially calling out his peers the same way Bill Maher is calling out his own side.
Correct.
It's the same way Stephen A. Smith is calling out his own side. It is a very tough position to be in because when you get invited to those parties, which Jerome Powell is going to be at, people are going to go up to him and they're going to say, why would you make those kind of comments? You know how much progress we were making with climate change? And then you say something like that, and you know the media on the opposite side, our enemy's going to pick it up. We have to stay united. You can't say something like that. So for a guy like that to say that, you know, it just comes across as there is at least somebody with logic that is thinking the way that Jerome Powell is thinking.
And
by the way,
don't forget who nominated Jerome Powell. It was Trump. Biden kept him.
Yeah.
So you have someone that's politically agnostic.
And 7 years he worked for David Rubenstein.
Our good friend.
Yeah.
7 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he worked for David Rubenstein.
And he's saying this on the eve of Davos, which is coming up over the next 7 years.
That's what I'm saying. For him to say that with the timing of it.
I think he's given the other Fed Board of Governors also air cover. He's given them air cover. So from the top, he's saying, we're not going to get involved in this and doing it. So he would be giving someone like, let's say I'm on the board in St. Louis, the Fed in St. Louis. He's giving me some air cover because the boss is saying, hey, we're going to worry about fiscal policy and you elected officials, everybody else that are flying your highly pollutant private jets into Davos at this very moment, you guys can talk about global warming.
Right. And Tom,
he's giving me air cover.
You'll know this. I mean, what is the purpose of the Fed? It's there to, you know, stamp down inflation, price of goods, unemployment, keep the money supply. It has nothing to do with social issues or ESG or anything like that. So that's just do your job, and that's his job.
Independently turn the knobs that help the economy for everyone.
Right. So respect to Powell. Good to see he's coming out and saying these type of things is what I'm saying because his voice carries a lot of weight.
We need more of this. Okay, so here's another story. As white-collar layoffs rise, blue-collar resilience faces test in 2023. This is a Wall Street Journal story.
No page?
So page 6, bottom. White-collar layoffs are starting to rise, and it's uncertain if this trend will spread to blue-collar industries as interest rates increase. According to Labor Department data, average layoffs in the finance and insurance insurance industry went from September to November, nearly doubled from a year earlier. Job cuts in real estate, leasing, brokerage, and information also increased by 20% and 14% over the same period. However, manufacturers, leisure, and hospitality and retail sectors laid off fewer workers in the 3 months through November compared to a year ago. Blue-collar sectors are less affected by interest rates, but if demand softens, they might hesitate to fire frontline workers they struggle to hire and retain during the pandemic. Tom, is there anything to this story we need to be paying attention to?
Yes, there is. We were talking yesterday on the podcast. No, the day before I started the podcast, we talked about all the stats and the credit card. And you talked about it's just a matter of time. It's a ticking bomb. You're just kicking the can down the road. First of all, we have to remember things in America are mostly manufactured in China and offshore. But the manufacturing we do have in America, if those consumers slow down, I agree with the headline. Blue collar resilience faces a test. And the resilience is going to be the resilience in consumer spending and whether they're buying things that are made here in America. And if they're not, so a lot of those blue collar folks are going to have some challenges. There's layoffs going all over the place. You saw Google laid off 15% in 3 different divisions. CFO Ruth Porat, really, really sharp. She's out there. What Google calls other bets. laying off. And that's all because of demand. And she's saying it's demand-based. They're not seeing the demand for the other bets that Google's making. So if credit cards and other things start reducing demand for physical things, because Google is IT, then yeah, I think blue collar halfway through this year, if it's a real recession, I think we should be seeing some of that. And I don't look forward to it. It's going to hurt core America.
I'll add to that. Tom, you know, likes to give them more macro perspective. I'll give more the micro perspective, how that affects you as your life. Well, I'm going to channel my inner Warren Buffett. You know, the one way to be recession-proof or inflation-proof is to be the best at your job. So we talked about which teachers should get raises and which teachers should be fired. And you think that you should fire the bottom 10-20%.
There's no question about
it. No question.
Yeah.
So if you suck at your job, you're probably going to get fired. But if you're great at your job, you're probably going to keep your job. You're probably going to get a raise. And God forbid your company has layoffs, there's just going to be a job waiting for you. So at the end of the day, this comes down to personal responsibility, personal accountability, personal finance. Yeah. If you're the shit at your job, not shitty at your job, you're going to have a job forever.
Yep.
If you suck, good riddance.
Get on chat AI and start using the shit out of it right now.
Exactly. Write term papers for people.
Write term papers.
Be the local genius. This is wonderful. Thank you. But I think also there's something what Adam said is,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know what? Maybe take it easy on discretionary spending first half of the year. Maybe just
AKA
take it
save that money. Yes.
Save that money, save an extra few dollars and see how this is going to play out. You know, you see those maps, they call them the spaghetti maps with all the possible tracks of a hurricane that's coming toward Florida or the Gulf Coast, right? Yeah. Toward America. You should be thinking of that. Like, you don't know where it's going to hit, but at some point this year, there's going to be a storm. What do you do? Make sure you've got your coat. Make sure you've kind of ease up on the discretionary spending a little bit and just be ready for whatever it brings. And if it's an easy year, buy yourself a little extra at the holidays.
Yeah, I'm thinking of right now. I'm sorry. Remember there was a hurricane coming to hit like Florida, and then there was like spaghetti maps, and then Trump like drew in like marker or crayon, like it could also go here. Yeah. It's like Trump, he just started drawing it.
Yeah,
I remember this.
He completely just like.
I hope everybody heard Adam's point in my follow up.
Yeah,
maybe be prudent this year.
Yeah,
look out for yourself, and then if the year doesn't turn out that bad, get yourself a little something nice later.
Ultimately, what I'm saying is, if there's a wall there, you know, just find a way to get over the wall and just get around that wall.
That's
buddy.
That's so funny.
Draw yourself an extra little spaghetti cone over there.
All right, let's do another story here with Bill Cosby, and then I want to go into the declassified documents with President Biden. If you want to go to page 10, if we go to page 10 here. By the way, what we may do is to have the audience follow with us. We may give the PDF for people to be able to follow with us as
That's be smart.
Something to be thinking about. Okay. So Bill Cosby victims slam his plan to tour this year. Victims of Bill Cosby have expressed their anger at the comedian's plan for a comeback tour after his sexual assault conviction was overturned in 2021. Andrew Constant, whose testimony played a crucial role in Cosby's 2018 conviction, said that if anybody deserves a comeback tour, it's the women he traumatized and abused. Other victims echoed the similar sentiments, expressing their belief that Cosby's reputation is damaged beyond repair and that he will continue to face protests and negative reactions from audiences. Cosby has been accused of sexual assaults by around 45 women and spent 3 years in prison for the crime. So, good idea, bad idea. I mean, all I think about is that first show. If I'm willing to bet most people would go to the show just to see who's showing up.
100%.
To see how they're going to react for this guy having the audacity to do this. So is he doing it for money? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's got money. Is he doing it because he wants to go set the record straight? Bad way of doing it. What do you think about the idea of him going on this tour?
I think about it. How old is he? He's falling apart. One of his eyes stopped
probably
working.
Probably 80-something years old,
he's,
I'm guessing.
Dude, how old is Bill? I'm going to say 85. What, 85? 85 years old,
wow.
Right? Pat, either he just 85. Doesn't want to be home.
He's hours from being an organ donor.
Yeah, there's two, right? Either he does not want to be home with, you know, doesn't want to deal with that, or he genuinely loves comedy, which well, I heard, I watched The Comedian, which is an old thing with Jerry Seinfeld and Ornie Adams, and they went to go see Bill Cosby in the theater, day shows, packed, sold out, and he would do, Rob, I think, 2.5 hours and just sit there and people would come. I think he's doing it. Him, personally, he's doing it because he just, bro, he's a comedian and he's been locked up and he's been away. Think about what his first joke is going to be. Think about the first thing that's going to come out of his mouth.
So I just flew in from Dallas. Boy, am I.
Oh, yeah.
But I think
I just flew in from jail.
Who's going to sell the tickets to this thing? This is the Put You to Sleep Tour sponsored by Roofie. You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. What are we?
That's a sponsor.
This is a very, very weird situation. And there's another comedian that just had a YouTube video come out about him. I'm not going to say any names that.
What's Bill Cosby's net
dates.
Worth, by the way?
He started canceling some dates from this other comedian that had a documentary come out about him. It's not good. But I mean, do people, if you have fans, some fans don't care.
It'd be interesting. Tom brought up a good point. Who's going to sell tickets to this? Like, Andrew Tate got deplatformed for misogynistic comments from PayPal, from Stripe. He couldn't actually receive income. Yeah. But this guy was convicted of raping women. Yeah. He's going to go out on tour. Is Ticketmaster going to be the one that's going to sell those tickets and 100%. Back that?
Well, you got the venue, too. I mean, and hotels... You know, Native Americans running the regional casinos that are very, very popular, Choctaw Casino and things like that. Which one of those is going to put their brand up, Pat, and allow to put Bill Cosby's name on the big sign in front of their brand? MGM presents Bill Cosby. You know, I don't know.
I don't see any major brands distancing them, acknowledging him and wanting to promote this guy. I just don't see it. Who's going to put their name on an 85-year-old guy? You're going to attach your wagon to this guy at the tail end of his career when he's trying to like clean up his legacy? You're like, all right.
And I guarantee you,
HBO
Pat,
now presents Bill Cosby? Hell no.
I will guarantee you guys, too, it'll sell out like that.
I don't
know.
Who the hell's going to
see? You're going to, dude, there's a demand.
Well, I don't disagree.
Kind of like a train wreck. Everyone was car wreck.
No, I don't think it's going to. It's like the same reason people cannot wait to go watch Chris Rock's show, the first time he's going to talk about what he's going to talk about. You know, did you guys see Eddie Murphy's speech this week when he won? And he says, hey, 46 years I've been an actor. I've been in the entertainment business 46 years, 41 years acting. This is the first time I'm winning this. And he says, there's three things I learned in my career. Mind your own business, pay your own taxes, and keep Will Smith's wife out of your
mouth. He was brilliant.
What did Eddie Murphy win?
I don't know what he won, but he won for this one show. And very, very interesting, different kind of an Eddie Murphy you're seeing nowadays. But for me with this, it's more about him. Why is he doing it at 85, okay? Why would you do it? What's your motive of wanting to do it? You really think people going to 45 women. This ain't one or two or three. You're talking about 45 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You think that's people going to be like, oh, you're forgiven. We'll move on.
I don't think so.
I don't know about that.
I don't think so. But he can't leave his. Think about it. He can't leave his house because wherever he goes, there's going to be. So maybe that's his only literally outlet to just get the hell out and sit in a room where people like him so he could tell. I mean, what are you going to talk about? I don't even get it.
He's got a lot to talk about.
Man, prison. Three years of prison.
I think he's just trying to clean up his legacy.
That's uncleanable. Bro, 45 women.
Well,
okay, 45 we know.
Can I ask the panel some questions? I want to give you some names. You tell me the likelihood that they're guilty or not.
Go ahead.
We just do this?
I'll be on my opinion.
Okay.
Go.
OJ.
Guilty.
100%.
100. So OJ killed two people straight up, and he's walking around
he lost
looking
civil
for the killer on, still.
Adam, not to cut you off. Okay. He tried to release a book that said, I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how
here's
I would do
how
it.
It was only
done.
Because I loved her very much. Remember
yeah,
that?
Right. Yeah.
So you're at 100% OJ?
OJ.
OJ.
Okay. So Cosby. How
100% guilty.
He's drugging girls. Not even a question, right?
It was a long court case.
Not even a question.
He was found guilty.
Okay. Harvey Weinstein.
Guilty
on two counts.
He did all this,
right? Yeah. Mrs. Weinstein, as he's known in prison.
I'm kind of on the, I don't know.
50-50. 50-50. I don't know. But back to Cosby. We're all in agreement that OJ, Cosby, and Weinstein are guilty AF.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just putting that out there that we're acknowledging the fact that they are guilty.
Less
100%. Meanwhile, OJ's still out there.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum. So we'll see what this guy Cosby has going on. But
it is.
I think Tom nailed it. What location, sponsor, Ticketmaster,
any of those conglomerates, they're going to promote this. I don't get any of it.
There's a big difference between those three and Tate. Those three were found guilty.
Convicted. Mm-hmm.
Tate's still going through, so you can't even put him in that category. Maybe you could put Michael Jackson in that category. Yeah. Maybe you can put Kevin Spacey in that category. You can't put some people that are going through it right now.
But that's why I give Tate. Yeah,
I don't put Tate in that category, but I also look at it.
But going,
we're trusting Romanian courts here.
Yeah. But going through this with Bill Cosby, I don't know. I'm more talking about, you're literally not going to win people over with this. You're not. Your legacy, you know, Dana White, mm-hmm. you know, the video came out, TMZ, and his wife hits him, and then he slaps her back. And then the next day, he's on TMZ, he says, for 15 years or for 20 years, I've been telling fighters, never lay your hands on a girl. Never lay hands on da-da-da. And here I'm the idiot sitting here having to explain myself with TMZ. He's in a press conference, and they're asking him. I don't know if you can find the words. I don't know if we can play the video. We can't play the video, but his words. He says, what do you want me to do? Okay, let's talk about it. Rob, if you want to turn off your mic. What do you want to do? Take time off to think about this, of my decision? I already know it was a bad decision.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? You want me to take a moment and reflect? Reflect for what? You want me to take time off this? He says, what about if in 2016, what he's trying to say is when the company sold, I could have taken the time off. I don't need to do this anymore. I could have been done. Okay, what should the repercussions be? I take 30 days off. How does that hurt me? I told you guys as we were going through COVID-19 pandemic, COVID could last 10 years, and I could sit it out. It's much like COVID. Actually, me leaving hurts the company, hurts my employees, hurts the fighters, doesn't hurt me. I could have left in 2016 when the company was acquired by Endeavor. Do I need to reflect? I've been against this. I've owned this. I'm telling you that I'm wrong. Here's my punishment. I have to walk around for however long I live. This is the point I wanted to make, what he said here. Here's my punishment. I have to walk around for however long I live. And this is how I'm labeled now. My other punishment is that I'm sure a lot of people, whether it be in the media, fighters, friends, acquaintances who had respect for me, might not have that respect for me now. There's a lot of things I have to deal with for the rest of my life that's way more punishment than what I take a 30 or 60-day absence of. What he just said, by the way, when he's talking, if you've not seen this clip, you can tell he's getting choked up. He's not going to show his emotions because you can tell he knows. He messed up, right? But the angle he took is, listen, this is for me forever. How long do you think this is going to stay with Dana?
Forever.
Forever. How long do you think it's going to stay with Cosby?
Forever.
Cosby.
Do you think he can do anything that he'll be forgiven for?
No.
This is permanent, okay? If I were to ask you right now, watch this. I'm going to give you names. Tell me what's going to be with them till their deathbed. You ready? Clinton.
Blowjob. Monica
Lewinsky.
Look what's the first thing you said.
Cigar.
Look what you said.
That's it.
All right, we can give
me. I love them things.
If you say him, boom. If you can go to Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando.
I have
Godfather.
He was a prick on set. And
James Dean. It's a whole different story, right?
Playboy.
Yeah.
That's a complete different story. Now, if you don't know the story, go look up the story between James Dean and Marlon Brando. Oh. If I give you Kevin Spacey, if I give you Mike, if I give you any president, I give you Bush, second one, what are you going to think?
Second one.
9/11, Afghanistan.
War.
If I give you John F. Kennedy, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Assassination.
What else does it come to mind?
Cuban Missile
Crisis. Vietnam.
What else comes to mind?
Vietnam.
Marilyn Monroe. What else comes to mind?
You country Listen, can do for
there are certain things that we as human beings are going to do that's permanent, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And trying to convince everybody how great of a human being you are, it's not helping.
And it really sucks.
Just
that,
the way you live.
Yeah,
you screwed up.
Yeah.
And you got to live with it.
It just sucks. You could be the greatest anything, whatever. Yeah. Takes one little, like that joke. I think I told you guys that joke.
You build a thousand bridges.
The Scottish guy.
You're a bridge
builder.
He's
in a bar.
You fuck one goat, right?
Yeah, that's the joke. He's like, he's in the bar, and the guy's like, why the long face? He's like, you see that? You know,
let him tell the joke. Why are you taking the joke
12 times on the podcast? Go ahead.
I never said the joke. It's over. But anyway, my point being.
You're talking about the goat fucker?
I'm saying, what I'm saying is you could do anything in this life. Like, Bill Clinton, great, really, really good president.
You're
right?
You're doing to him what Tom is doing to you.
I can't listen. I'm glad we recognize that.
But here's the point.
It takes one. You could do
it
whatever.
Takes one goat.
One goat or one goat. Cigar or yeah. one thing about it, yeah. and then that's your legacy. But I do. I respect manning up right off the bat and not letting the system say this is what we do.
Dana's a leader.
Dana's a G, bro.
That's why Dana's a leader. Dana mans up, handles it. And then says, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Take 30 days off? Take 60 days off? Take what? What do you want me to do here, right? Versus, you know, you hear certain people like, well, let me tell you, I'm this, and let me tell you, it's the Matrix. Let me tell you, it's this. And no, man, just like, what position do you want to take? This is sounding like no victim on the way this guy handled it.
Mm-hmm.
Dana, the way he's handling this sounds like I effed up. I'm not a victim. Don't feel bad for me. My life's going to suck. Because of this decision that I made, my kids are always in arguments. Because, well, you did this, Dad. How can you tell me you're being a hypocrite? He knows this. This is permanent. FYI, what this does is, this isn't about, you know how they say success, there's levels to success. So let's talk about levels to success. What are levels to success, okay? Levels to success is you were a high school freaking superstar. Shit. You got records in your high school. Damn it, when you go back, it's like, Al Bundy, you know my records?
Four touchdowns, poke high. Yeah.
Man, you guys should go back and look at my records in high school when I played basketball. My the only stats you'll see with records with me is elbows. The other day, my coach called me from, he called me, we're having a conversation together with this guy from New Century City Basketball Association when I was playing at Echo Park. He says, do you remember when we lost by 100 points? I said, do I remember? My dad's kept a trophy since 14 years old. Of course I remember. It's the only sports trophy I got. I wasn't an athlete like the two of you guys.
Yeah.
By the way, just so you know, these two guys were superstars. You go out with Vinny. Vinny throws the ball, and the ball just keeps – it's still traveling, by the way. Makes it look like it's nothing. Adam throws the ball. It's like he woke up. No problem, right? But, no, you know, there's levels to sports.
You had the sharpest elbows in all of Glendale.
There's levels to fighters. One guy, hey, do you see that guy was a great fighter? He punched one guy in the face. He fell. For the rest of his life, he's a great fighter. It's one punch, okay? Mm-hmm. That guy's a great gambler. That guy's this. There's levels to success, and there's levels to F-ups.
Mm-hmm.
There's levels to F-ups, meaning Cosby's F-up is a level on its own.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's F-up is pretty up there. OJ's. Is OJ. Yeah. It's up OJ. There, right?
It's as big as it
Kevin Spacey is up there. Dana White is a bad F up. It ain't up there at the level of these guys.
No.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So there's levels to F up. You want to do whatever you can to have the massive F ups in life. Those are the ones you want to avoid as much as possible because they are permanent. And no matter what you do, as much as we love redemption, we do love redemption. This is America. We're all about redemption. Certain F-ups, it's an asterisk that's right next to you.
Exactly.
You
want
to go into Baseball Hall of Fame? You deserve to go. Like, I believe Bonds belongs in a Baseball Hall of Fame. You can put pre-steroids, post-steroids. Just you can say size of hat, 7 1/4.
Yeah.
Size of hat, 8 1/4. I mean, that's all you got to put.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, but anyways, props to Dana on the way he handled it. That was a great
– I think
any major – PR firm that you're going through targeted by a media trying to defame you, which is going to happen as you get big. They did it to Rogan. They do it to everybody. Rather than paying $500,000 to a PR firm in New York, just call Dana White.
Yeah.
Say, Dana, how should I handle this?
Yeah, be honest.
Or watch this handling of Dana White. It's a clinic he did.
I'll add one thing. Number one, he's giving a masterclass on accountability and leadership. You could be accountable and be a leader even when you fuck up. I think that's when you have to be held accountable. But you bring up a very good point. There's levels to effing up. A few weeks ago, a month ago, we had our friend the Liver King here. He's like, I'm like, relax, guy. You don't need to, like, you did steroids.
Yeah.
You didn't OJ and kill somebody, two people. You weren't raping and pillaging.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you do in your spare time, Liver King.
Yeah.
I mean, you got that look. But all we know is that you have done steroids. So, like, put it a little context. He's like, thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But he did lie to a lot of people. But Cosby and OJ, that's a different level. Like, you're right, versus Tate or Liver King or whoever. That's different levels.
All right, so let's continue.